Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and it's our delight to have you on board with us today as we once again face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God, the Scripture, the Bible. May I remind us that Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." By the way, the "you're my disciples indeed," the word "indeed" simply means truly, surely, authentically, you are my disciples. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." What is the truth? Where is the truth? It is the Word of God. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we speak about issues on this broadcast, and we do so daily, we are doing it based on the authority of Scripture. What does the Bible say? And I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, there's no better place to find directions in life and instructions for living than in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. But there's a problem in society today with the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. There is a difficulty with it. Throughout the centuries, evil men, wicked men, God-haters, Bible deniers, have ridiculed, rejected, and refused the Bible. I want to talk about today an issue that I believe is relevant to the current era in which we're living. Will we ban or burn the Bible? As a nation, will we ban or burn the Bible? Now, quite frankly, if I can just do a little truncated rush to the end result, I believe we're headed in America to the point where we will ban it and burn it. I believe if Jesus tarries and the rapture of the church tarries, I believe we as believers will see the day coming. It's on the horizon when the Bible will be outlawed, banning the Bible. And if it is confiscated, burning of the Bible. You think, "Oh, well, that's a little radical. I don't think that's possible." Ladies and gentlemen, we're finding cities and states across America, municipalities across America, that's banning any Christian's statement about the Bible or stand for the Bible. And at the same time, we have those that are newly elected jihadists in Washington, in the Congress, that's now talking very, very clearly about the nation of Israel in a derogatory fashion. They've tried to get a resolution up this week to be passed, and they've put it off. And they wanted the resolution to condemn Omar, that's Representative Omar's discussion, in a castigating, demeaning fashion for Jewish people and for the nation of Israel. And they realized that that was going to be too blunt and pointed. Without calling her name, it will be calling her out. And so they're watering it down now to relate the resolution so that nothing can be said about Islam and other things, i.e., the homosexual movement, et cetera, to make it a big, broad swath. But, ladies and gentlemen, that's just the tip of the iceberg. We found down through the centuries, ladies and gentlemen, where there's an attempt to ban the Bible or burn the Bible. And many times it's been openly burned, and multitudes openly rejecting the Word of God today. The public schools, by the way, are not allowing the teaching of the Bible in the classroom, but the Quran is being accepted. In fact, in some schools across America today, the public school system, students quote verses from the Quran. Some students are being taught to quote the Islamic prayer. And the Islamic prayer is called the Shahada. And in the Islamic prayer, the Shahada, it is actually the conversion prayer, converting to Islam, that students are being required to recite and to memorize, even with prayer rugs in the classrooms. But ladies and gentlemen, when it comes then to the Word of God, by the way, there's a bill in the House, House Bill 195 in Tallahassee, that legislative session started yesterday for this legislative session. And they will be taking up eventually House Bill 195, the Bible in the classroom. I urge you to call your legislator, call your representative, call your senator, and say vote yes on House Bill 195. House Bill 195 will allow the Bible to be taught as an elective in public schools, 9th through the 12th grade, as an elective. Now, it's not going to require that a teacher teach a person how to be saved, to teach a person how to have a relationship with Jesus. That's not the point. But the point is, it can be taught as an historical book. What is the Bible, the Old and the New Testament? Where did it come from? How do we get it? Et cetera, et cetera. So I would urge you to encourage our legislators in Tallahassee to vote yes on House Bill 195. There's a matching bill in the Senate, of course. But House Bill 195 is the Bible in the classroom. But ladies and gentlemen, recently, the dean of a major university resigned. It was on Fox News this morning, about 6:30, 7 o'clock news. Why did she resign? Because she's a Christian. And because the school rejected Chick-fil-A as a restaurant. Listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. This will show you how the Bible is viewed and anyone that stands for the Bible, how they're treated. This dear lady, a Christian dean of the university, resigned because the school rejected Chick-fil-A as a restaurant on the campus. 95% of the students voted to have Chick-fil-A on the campus. But the minuscule small number, handful of students that identified as the LGBTQ group rejected the restaurant. They did not want Chick-fil-A on the campus. They did not want its presence. Why is that so? Because of the Bible, the Word of God clearly teaches that the sodomite lifestyle is sin and that God condemns sin. And as the owners of Chick-fil-A are Christians and stand for the Bible, stand for the Word of God, they stand for what God's Word says. And the Bible is the best foundation, as they say, and it is, for our faith and our family and for the future of America. And as a result of that, the school summarily rejected having Chick-fil-A as a restaurant on campus. Now, that's happened across the nation. And yet, Chick-fil-A still stands. In fact, some of the best advertisement Chick-fil-A's received has been the demeaning, destructive voices from the LGBT crowd that demands that Chick-fil-A not be allowed to open in some venues. But ladies and gentlemen, the burning of and the banning of the Bible is not something new. It's been happening for centuries now. In fact, here's an article. It goes back a couple of years. And most were not made aware of it because it was not stated on the news broadcast, generally speaking. Title of the article says, ISIS burns hundreds of Bibles in Mosul. ISIS terrorists cut a video showing the burning of hundreds of Christian Bibles and literature in Mosul. It shows how very serious the group is about eradicating all faiths outside of the Islamic sect. Ladies and gentlemen, back just a couple of years ago, in fact, it's been about 4 years ago now, a Christian church that had one of its members as a Christian soldier that was stationed in Afghanistan, they sent a case of Bibles to the soldier, published in the Arabic language so he could transmit them to those that he would be able to witness to while on duty. It was discovered that he had the case of Bibles under his bunk bed. The chaplain reported it to the sergeant. The sergeant then in charge commanded that the Bibles be brought out. And that case had about 400 Bibles. And they burned them and a giant bonfire out in front of the barracks building. Very little, if anything, was said on national public news in America. But yet, the Quran is to be revered and upheld and protected in the society in which we're living. But listen very carefully. Don't you dare think that the burning of the banning of the Bible is something brand new in the society today. Back in the days of Jeremiah, the Bible was also confiscated and page by page pulled out and put in a bonfire to be burned. That's recorded, ladies and gentlemen, in the 36th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. It gives us the details of the Bible burning, and I don't know of any other place in the Bible where you find such clear indication of where we are today. But I want us to understand the source of the Word of God is recorded in Jeremiah 36. It points out that it proceeds from God. In Jeremiah 36, verse 1 and 2, and it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that the word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take this roll of the book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, against Judah, and against all the nations from the day I spake them unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. And it shall be that the house of Judah will hear of the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, and I may forgive their iniquities and forgive their sins. Ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God, the Bible, proceeds from the very mouth of God. The Word of God that we have today, the Bible, is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And here in this text, it points out very clearly that it proceeds from the Lord God Himself. Not only it proceeds from God, it's purposeful from God. He says in that verse 2 and in verse 3, he says, I have spoken unto thee against Israel and Judah and all nations. You see, ladies and gentlemen, God's word is for all people in every era and every nation to be warned and convicted of sin that they might repent. That's what he says in the third verse, that the way that I may forgive their iniquities and their sins, they might return every man from his evil way. The word return from the evil way literally means to repent. The purpose of the Word of God is to bring conviction in the heart and the life of an individual, that he might repent of sin, turn from sin, and be obedient to God through God's Word. But ladies and gentlemen, that was not sufficient in Jeremiah's day. Just as in today, when a man of God, a person of faith, an individual Christian, an individual believer, stands and says, this is wrong, this is sin, it boils up evil, wicked intent in the heart of the hearer. And the idea is that we'll just destroy the book, we'll destroy the Bible, we'll refuse it, we'll ban it, or we'll burn it. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're talking about asking the question, will we ban or burn the Bible? If you'd like to jump in this dialogue and discussion, you can do so by dialing 401-1413, 401-1413. Get your telephone call directly to the studio and right to our microphones so that you can join in this dialogue and discussion. We're talking about, will we ban or burn the Bible? Ladies and gentlemen, we find in the 36th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, not only the source of the word recorded, but we find the spreading of the word required. It was required that the word be read. The word was preached, the word was published, and the word in its preaching and publishing brought rejection from the hearer of the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, in chapter 36, verse 6 and following, it talks about the word being preached. Therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day, and also shalt thou read them in the ears of all of Judah that come out of other cities. And it goes on to talk about, for it to be the supplication they might return from their evil ways, the wicked ways. And it talks about in the 8th verse then, the reading of the book, that the word of the Lord in the house of God. And it came to pass that in the 5th year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the 9th month, that they proclaim a fast before the Lord. And all the people in Jerusalem and all the people came from the cities of Judah and unto Jerusalem. Then, verse 10, then read in the book of the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in the same era, the same day, the same type setting, the same mindset, the same revulsion and the rejection of the Word of God in our society today. The Word of God in Jeremiah's day was preached. It was published in that 10th verse. It says the Word is read, it's preached, it's proclaimed in every high court, far and wide. God's Word spreads, bringing conviction and caution and God's judgment for unless the people repent. But then, ladies and gentlemen, in verses 11 through 26, in the 36th chapter of Jeremiah, there's a scorn for the Word of God. When the Word of God is preached, when it's published, when it's proclaimed in the houses, in the house of the Lord, and among the nation's leadership, the leadership in Jeremiah's day became concerned, afraid, and fearful of the power of the Word of God. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in the 14th through the 19th verses, its presence is burned, or banned, and then burned. Its presence, that is, the presence of the Word of God, is banned. As you read the 14th through the 19th verses in Jeremiah 36, you see the princes and the leaders, the political leaders and the spiritual leaders rejected the Word of God. They rejected the Word being read in their presence, the 14th verse tells us. In fact, it says, saying, take in thine hand the roll when thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. And they took the roll in the hand and came unto them, and they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Barak read it in their ears, and it came to pass that they had heard it, the words, they were afraid, both one and another, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king all of these words. So, ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God is read. It is banned. They did not want to hear it. They are fearful of it in the 16th verse. They take action against God's Word in the 17th, 18th, and 19th verse. And then it is purposefully burned. Listen to what the Scripture says, ladies and gentlemen. So the king sent Jehudah to fetch the roll, and he took it out, and he read it in the ears of the king and the ears of all the princes that stood beside it. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. Listen to the 23rd verse. And it came to pass that when Jehoiada had read three or four leaves, he cut with his penknife and cast it into the fire and that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is, in Jeremiah's day, because the king did not want to hear the truth of the Word of God, if you translate that into today, because the political leaders do not want to hear the truth of the Word of God, there's a mindset that we need to ban it or burn it. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're in that very day, that very era, as in Jeremiah's day. The pages were pulled out, plucked out of the Bible, one page at a time, and cast into the fire until the whole of the roll of the scroll of the book of the Bible was burned. The Bible is banned, and then it's burned. But I want us to understand you can't destroy the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. God's Word cannot be ultimately, utterly destroyed. In the 27th verse to the 31st verse of this same chapter, the Bible says, then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah after the king had burned the roll. And the word which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take again another roll and write in it all the former words that were given on the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, had burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned the roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thee man, thence man and beast. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to what the Scripture is saying. Its power has not been silenced. God's judgment was pronounced in verses 27 through 30. God said, write it again. The Bible cannot be completely destroyed. It has survived the tyrants over the centuries of all of these years gone by. It has survived the banning and the burning by tyrants and by dictators and by religious leaders and political leaders. But God's judgment is prescribed in this 31st verse. God warns that judgment will come, yet the people will not heed, will not hear, and then its presence was not severed. Verse 32 says, then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Nimrod, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire, and there was added besides unto them many like words. In other words, Jeremiah rewrote what had been burned that God gave him the words to write. The Bible is beyond being banned or burned. Jeremiah was told to write again and to produce again the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the word of God should be hidden in our hearts. David talked about it in Psalms 119, where David said, I will meditate on thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy statutes, thy word. Verse 24, we're talking about Psalms 119. All of Psalms 119 is about the praise and the recognition and the embracing of the word of God. David says, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Verse 25, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken me according to thy word. In verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it until the end. In verse 40, behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Verse 44, we're reading through verses in Psalms 119, which is all about the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. David said in verse 46, I will speak of thy testimonies also before the kings and will not be ashamed. Verse 47, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have love. Verse 49, remember the word unto thy servant, unto which thou hast caused me to hope. The word of God gives hope. It gives wisdom, gives encouragement, it gives direction, gives instruction in our lives. David said in verse 60, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Verse 62, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Ladies and gentlemen, the learning of the word of God, the inculcating of God's word in our hearts and our lives, many times will not be recognized and received until there are major difficulties and calamities in our lives. God uses that to turn us to his word. Psalms 119, verse 72, the word, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. In Psalms 119, verse 87, they had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Precepts referring to the commandments, the law, the word of God. Verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me, that is, made me alive. Verse 97, oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day long. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go on and on and on. Let me just drop down to verse 105, 103 and following. How sweet are the words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey in my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, and I will keep thy righteous judgments. 112, I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes, alway, even unto the end. 130, the entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the word of God, the Bible, that is the lamp unto our feet, the light unto our pathway. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible can bring peace and hope and wisdom, but it can even save one's life. Here's an article that says, the Bible in a bus driver's pocket stops two bullets and saves his life. A bus driver who was shot in the chest was saved by a Bible in his pocket, leading police to believe that some kind of intervention must have taken place. And he goes on to talk about what had taken place when this bus driver was shot and the bullets hit his Bible in his vest pocket and saved his life. Here's a article that goes back to World War I. The Bible saved World War I soldier's life and still has the German bullet embedded in it just 50 pages from going all the way through and killing him. And it goes on to talk about this soldier that had in his vest pocket a Bible that had been handed down from his mother and his dad to him. When he went off to war, he kept it in his vest pocket. Here's an article that says, a man's Bible untouched after the fire destroys his home. Charles House of Tyler, Texas, woke up to smell his house burning down Friday morning. One thing remained unscathed. A Texas man has only one of his possessions left after his home and everything in it was destroyed by fire on Friday morning. Everything was lost, this article says, ladies and gentlemen. Everything is lost, but his house, but Houses, that's his name, Mr. House, House's Bible somehow survived the flame. House told the news, local news, quote, it was scorched, but it did not burn. Ladies and gentlemen, that sounded like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fiery furnace. And they came out, and they might have smelled like smoke had been around them. They might have smelled like fire, but they had not burned because they refused to bow. They refused to bend. And as a result of that, they refused to be burned, according to the biblical record of their lives. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, thank you, Jesus. Man's truck goes up in flames, but his Bible is inside and unscathed. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the Bible. Not only should we ingest it, should we use it, should we learn it, study it, and allow it to give us wisdom and strength, but the Bible has a record of saving lives externally and just the life itself in the life that we're presently living. This article says, an Oklahoma family is counting their blessings after an intense fire charred their truck but left their Bible untouched. And if it wasn't for the vehicle's horn honking, the family may have lost the house also, which was just feet away from the flames. The man says, I felt like crying. He told Fox 6 News, the incident happened 2 weeks before Christmas. But a solace in the midst of tragedy was that his childhood Bible was left unscathed. A case that was around the Bible was charred, this article says, but the Bible that he had received when he was 13 years old was still in good shape. Ladies and gentlemen, God's preserving his word. He's preserving his word. He has preserved it all of these centuries, and he'll yet preserve it. The tyrants may try to ban it. They want to burn it. We're living in a society today where the Bible is ridiculed, rejected, and refused. But ladies and gentlemen, here's an article. West Virginia firefighters find untouched Bible in a church fire. Though odds were against it, God was not. A West Virginia church went up in blazes early Sunday morning, but the Bibles inside remained untouched by the flames. A church fire in West Virginia left firefighters stunned when they found the Bibles untouched by the flames. Early Sunday morning, the Cole City Fire Department responded to a fire at the Freedom Ministry Church in Grandview, a town in the mountains of West Virginia. Picture this. A building so hot that at one point in time, the firefighters had to back out. The fire department said, in your mind, everything should be burned. But then when they went through the ashes, said, though the odds were against it, God was not. The firefighters said, offering their prayer for the pastor and his congregation, not a single Bible was harmed in the church. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord Jesus Christ has promised us in Matthew 5:18. I'll read that as we close. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth shall pass, not one jot or tittle in no wise shall pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is to be preserved and read and used in our lives. Thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.